I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not. Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Congratulations. Your morning just got a bit classier. A media legend, a ferocious linebacker, a clueless producer, and you.
Searching for a replacement window online? Visit windownation.com today.
So raise a glass and act accordingly. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's do it live on a Monday edition of the program, a Reaction Monday edition. And there's a lot to react to. How you living, Threes?
Personally, I'm living great. I mean, I'm living the dream. You know, I'm
personally
feeling
fantastic.
Got to finally get back in the gym this morning. Over to Lifetime Fitness, able to get a pump for the first time in 10 days, which is both entirely frustrating yet also rewarding. You know, when you get after it every day, you got to, you know, you make certain progress, you know,
sure.
And then a little thing called COVID comes through and kind of sets you back a little bit. But,
yeah.
You know, here we are pumping it out, feeling good. A lot of anger in the weight room this morning.
Yeah.
Well over deserved. Our inability to play sound defense. But we have 3 hours to talk about it, so that's great. Thankfully, the Bengals. Thank you,
Bengals
Cincinnati.
Ohio.
Even though you don't claim Ohio, we will claim you today because we need some good news.
Some good news. Yeah, it was kind of a pure crap weekend up at the Bishop household. I mean, it was tough. Although Iowa State had a lot of juice to it too, but Iowa was so good, and we'll get to that later. I mean, this is a Buckeye show, and that's what we're going to spend most of our time on. But you think about it from an Ohio State Browns perspective. If you were someone, and many of you out there probably lean those two ways, those were the two marquee games on Saturday and Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, those were the ones. You could argue Bills Steelers was up there too, but you know there was a reason Nance and Romo were on the game.
Shame that the Steelers don't have culture.
Yeah, they've none. No,
you
they
know?
Barely can
the,
make
the,
it.
The ability no. where everything looks like pure death in the first half.
Just they stick to it. Us.
Not yeah. panic. You know.
Tomorrow will be our big NFL day. We'll have some NFL reaction here in 45 minutes or so. But I will say this: I feel very differently about what I saw with the Cleveland football team and the Ohio State football team. And let's start there with Ohio State because yep. a week ago, you know, we did this show. It was your first show back as you were on the road and had a chance to react on Thursday. And I said, well, how do you feel about Ohio State now that you've seen everybody else in the country? And you and I discussed that. And I said, you know what? I kind of feel like of the teams that are in the mix, mm-hmm. we have the highest ceiling to yeah. bug Bama. We have the highest ceiling because we can score. We can yeah. score the. We're going to be able to score the football. Defensively, we got a lot of problems. We said this last week after Minnesota. Those problems were exacerbated by a better football team. Oregon is a significantly better football team. And I think before we go anywhere else, let's start here. Mario Cristobal's got himself a program.
Yes,
he's got a tough, physical program. They were without three starters. They were without the best defensive player in college football. Did not play.
Yep.
Didn't play in the game. Didn't need him. They didn't yep. have trouble setting the edge. They didn't mm-hmm. have trouble.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have trouble getting to CJ. Nope. No, they didn't have we threw it all over the place.
They were without a guy
we only
that
scored 28
had 14
points.
Tackles the week before.
Justin Flo. Yep. That linebacker. By the way, that if he would have played, that would have meant the two best linebackers on the field both would have been wearing green and yellow, or green mm-hmm. and white in this mm-hmm. case. Because he would have filled the A gap as well, something that mm-hmm. we struggled with. The credit is to them. The last time that we played Oregon was for the national championship. I was there at the very first press conference where Ohio State and Oregon, it was at a convention center in Dallas, and they kind of swapped, right? The way yeah. that those things work, one team walks in, another team walks out, and away they go. You knew then it was over because they did not have the physicality that mm-hmm. we had.
Yep.
They did not have the dudes. They've evened the playing field. They have the dudes now. They
yep.
they bullied us in the trenches. They yep. were more physical. They were better coached. They were better coached. They knew where they were supposed to be. They were there. Yeah, we moved it up and down the field. We threw for nearly 500 yards. We scored 28 points, guys.
Mm.
Played, scored 28. You want to know what was the most, and my mind's going a million different places, but the thing, buddy, you go back to our Friday show. I think all of us picked them to be in the 30s. Didn't we pick Oregon all to be right around 30? I think I had them 28, something like that. You were in that. We all knew they'd move the ball.
I think I had 42-28 or something, maybe
something like that.
24, something like that.
We were somewhere in there, right? Yeah. I mean, you knew Oregon would score. And maybe that's the problem. Maybe where we are right now with Ohio State defensively is if you don't score 50, you don't win.
Yeah. We are, you kind of feel like you're the Chiefs.
Right.
The Chiefs are gonna, you know, they're going to score a ton of points. That's what I saw. They're going to score a ton of points. Here's my thing. Where to start? There's so much defensively. I went back and rewatched it yesterday.
Yeah.
Just because, from my point of view, I want to see what is happening. I want to see where we were on the touchdown runs. How can the same scheme concept,
right,
hit you three times around the corner? What the heck happened on a long touchdown run when you have a middle field safety? What I found out was there's no awareness of recognizing the formation. Every single formation in the history of football, when there is a reduced split, what do I mean by that? When the tight end or the wide receiver is tight to the tackle on the line of scrimmage, you're yelling to your D end and to each other, alert crackback.
Right.
He's in a position where it's either going to be a crack if it's a run, or alert pick if we're in man, because the tight end slash wide receiver can run vertical and pick you if you have the running back man to the flat. Okay? It's like we've never seen it before. Like, okay, first time it happens, sure. First time touchdown, CJ Verdell, great. Give him a hand, go to the sideline. Hey, next time they line up with that, how about we pass it off? That's a tight end. That is a running back. Like bodies. Hey, DB, why don't you pass it? As soon as he goes in, pass it to the mic. Take your eyes to the running back coming out to you. You're free. You're unblocked. That way you can make the play and run and pass. You can absorb them. Take them. We didn't adjust all game. Didn't adjust. I don't know what the play call was on the 70-yard touchdown run. I don't know if Taraja was in a blitz. I almost am hopeful he was. Otherwise, again, when a tight end is off the line of scrimmage, off the tackle, okay, he's in a deeper position, meaning that he can come back across the ball. You see Ronnie Hickman communicate to Tommy at Mike. So it's Ronnie on the way right, looking from behind the defense.
Mm-hmm.
Tommy, Taraja. That tight end's going to come back across. If Taraja wasn't blitzing, which I don't know if he was, but he was so dang aggressive, I'm hopeful he was. Anyway. If he's not blitzing, you say to three, hey, 3-on-2, okay? 3-on-2 of these guys, all right? If he comes back, Taraja, you're the far left person, I got him. Whoever, wherever that back goes, it's either Tommy or Ronnie, okay? The other guy's the little hole. You're free. Free up. Besides the point. So Tommy runs with the tight end, abandoning the A-gap. If Taraja is supposed to blitz, he has to adjust and hit that B-gap, because what you had is you had Zach and Taraja in the same gap. Ronnie had a blocker on him in the A-gap, and there's nobody in the middle of our defense to account for the B-gap where the ball hit. And then Shaw just took bad angles all game. That's all it is. He just took a bad angle. And then you take a bad angle on an elite running back, and it's out the house. Now, if that's Proctor, does he get him down, right? Does he save it, and it's a 20-yard gain instead of a, you know, 70-yard touchdown run? I don't know. But what's frustrating is that the week before, after Minnesota, I'll put it this way, if we ever allowed 160-something yards rushing to one running back, there's no damn way Luke Fickell is giving us a champion grade. There's no way.
No.
You allow a 100-yard rusher, nobody gets a champion. Nobody. It's not acceptable. That's not silver bullet football. That's not the way we play. And we weren't perfect. But I promise you, in games that we won, where we allowed over 100-yard rushing, guess what? You didn't get a Buckeye Leaf for that. You're not grading out as champion. You think we got winning performances after we beat Northern Illinois and Garrett Wolf ran for 200 yards? Heck no. There's no winning performances. Luke was trying to replace all of us. That's why he told me, hey, you know what? I'm going to rotate you with Larry Grant. Why? Because I was part of a unit that gave up 200 yards plus rushing. And it was embarrassing to the standard at Ohio State football. So when you have 12 championship performances after how much we allowed versus Minnesota, you have to wonder, what are the standards?
Yeah.
Is this about feel good? Is this about patting people on the back? Sure seems like it because we play 35 guys.
So many.
Again, if you're trying to take me out, I used to get mad at Luke when it was Youngstown State going into the fourth quarter. He'd be like, hey, B-roll, go in. No. What do you mean go in? You're not taking me out, let alone the first quarter, rotate. For what? Let me settle in. It's all correctable. It's fixable. But it's frustrating. Because it wasn't just... I felt like they... You're right. When you go back to physicality, they were able to be extremely physical on both lines of scrimmage.
Mm-hmm.
I told you number three can play on the inside for Oregon.
Yep.
He showed up against Fresno State. He said, oh, Fresno State. He just shows up. They were able to control the line of scrimmage in certain areas. I was absolutely shocked at our, and we started to open up the ground game later on. And if you look at the stats, you'll be like, oh, the stats were all there. I always say you can't out-train a bad diet, and you can't out-throw a bad defense, it seems like. And it seems like, I mean, no matter how impressive CJ was, which, look, his stats are incredible. Missed some throws early. Errant throw late, that's the interception. It's not his fault. He's not the reason why we lost the game.
No.
It's just the physicality. The Ducks came in. They knew that their top two guys were down, and they still punched us in the mouth, and we never adjusted. It's all correctable. I don't think there's any reason to abandon ship. The guys are 100% right, saying, you know what? Everything's out there still in front of us. The thing that is frustrating for us is that we in no way, shape, or form control our own destiny. No way. We need other people to lose already.
You know,
if we are the one loss Big Ten champs, even with a win over Iowa, a one loss ACC champ would get in over us in Clemson. Why? They lost to Georgia. It was only 10-3. You hear it already. You can hear the narrative already. Feinbaum, who has a tougher thing. Oh, Ryan Day, by far. They have no defense. I mean, Clemson seems to have figured their offense out. They only lost 10-3. I mean, and it took a defensive touchdown to beat them. Oh, it took a defensive touchdown to beat them. Not that they couldn't move the ball the length of... You get it. So,
I'm not... We have no room for error.
And
we have no right to have that conversation, honestly, based on what we've seen
in
2 weeks.
We don't.
Buddy,
we ran it 38 times.
They ran it 38 times, 7 yards a clip.
Mm.
7 yards a clip, 38 times.
Most of the time, we were in single high coverage.
We were in single high.
Yep.
You and I were texting during the game. They were getting simple. Just simple stuff was 5 yards.
Yeah.
Simple stuff, 5 yards.
Yeah.
It could have been worse. I thought Oregon actually abandoned the run a little bit in the fourth quarter.
Oregon got super conservative late.
Yeah. They should have just kept giving it to seven.
Yeah.
Giving it to Vardell. 20 for 161 and 2 touchdowns.
Yep.
Now, we told you he was a dude. 2-time 1,000-yard back. We told you that last week.
Yep. Yeah.
We couldn't get off the field again.
They impressed me. I didn't think they
I'm giving them tons of credit. They deserve a ton of credit. That's a real football team. They played without 3 starters. They played without 2 of their 5 best defensive players and the best defensive player in college football.
Yep.
And they dominated. They were physical. They dominated us.
Yeah.
Physically.
Yep.
That's... So you say to yourself, all right, well, you watch this team play, right?
Yep.
It's 2 weeks in, right? It's a young team. I get it. But you want to know where the flashes are. You want to know who's somebody that you're like, okay, he's coming. That's coming. What I see defensively, and there's offensive stuff too, and look, this is the standard that you hold to. You say, boy, guys, we had 600 yards of offense. Okay, great. You scored 28 points and you lost at home.
Yeah.
To a team you were favored by 14.5 over.
And that's the thing, right?
So,
this wasn't a different standard here at home. You were favored by 14.
And everybody knew what they signed up for.
Yep.
Nobody signs those contracts and doesn't know where they signed them.
Yeah.
Right? You come here to play. So you see confusion defensively. Massive confusion.
Yep.
Everybody in the stadium, everybody watching, the millions watching on television, on the third touchdown run where they went left, knew that they set it up on the play before on second down.
Yep.
Everybody knew it. And we had linebackers running into each other. What are we doing? What are we doing? So there's the incredible confusion. You mentioned the amount of guys. We're playing so many guys. It's how could you ever get a rhythm? And the other thing what I don't see, and this is the more finite issue, and maybe some can develop into it, and we'll get into it from a recruiting development standpoint, but what I don't see is dudes who cover up mistakes. I don't see Malik Hooker covering mistakes, right? I don't see, you want to go back a decade, I don't see Ryan Shazier, I don't see Darren Lee, I don't see Joshua Perry, I don't see Joey Bosa, Nick Bosa, Chase Young. Now, that's an incredible standard, right? Those guys are, they're all pros. They're first-round picks. I don't see Okuda. I don't see Lattimore. By the way, good job of you. $68 million bucks guaranteed. That's nice. You don't, those guys, Denzel Ward's not walking through the door. So that elite stuff that we had for a while, it's been a couple of years since we've had.
There seems to be a lack of confidence going on right now, and I don't know if that's between player and coach, coach and player, player to player. But when you aren't 100,000% certain in what you are looking at and what your assignment is, what your job is, it is impossible to play up to your natural ability. My worst games have been when I'm like, oh, where do I fit? And these were mostly in the league because Luke never – I was always prepared under Luke. But sometimes in the league, there were some gray areas. I don't like operating in gray area.
Yeah,
I want to know, hey, if this guy goes here, where do I go? And where do I trigger really fast? And when I do that, then I can play to all of my forever 40, right? As hard as I can run, I'm going there. But when I don't know, and I'm a step behind, they're pretty good on the other side of the football. Mm-hmm. And that step behind means that he gets through. You know what? Hey, maybe I hit this gap and I fall back. Oh, great, good job. It's an 8-yard gain. It's not a plus. A plus is holding him under 4 yards. That's a plus. And you're just a little hesitant. Am I trusting what I'm seeing? Am I believing what I'm being coached? Am I trusting in it? Is what I'm being coached the right stuff? There's a lot of questions and a lot of reflection that will happen within that locker room. The problem is we're not going to know if we get right in the next 2 weeks.
Not for a while.
And so you're facing some things here that it's not going to feel better. Like the taste in your mouth won't feel better for weeks. I've been a part of teams to where, you know what, you don't play well. But let's hold ourselves to the standard. Like, we are holding them to the standard. They got to hold themselves to this standard. And look, the silver bullet standard is tall. There's a huge pressure. When you take the field, I mean, it's thinking about Spiels. It's thinking about Big Cat. I'm thinking about Antoine Winfield. I'm thinking about Sean Springs. You better help hold, let alone these guys now. You're thinking about the Bosa brothers, Chase Young. You named all the DBs. Let's hold ourselves to the real standard. Let's bring it down not to where, hey, you know what? We did a good job. We held them to 21 points. What about under – all I know is that the Iowa Hawkeyes, say what you want about their talent, their roster, but it's been like 25 games now they haven't allowed anyone to score 24 points.
They'll punch you in the mouth, won't they, Coach? That team will punch you in the mouth.
You know what they make you do? They just make you execute.
Yeah,
they did all physical. They got tip balls to each other. Wanna why they're in the right position? Because they make an offensive coordinator look. The quarterback get impatient, panic. There's always some kind of pass rush around them. Quarterback rushes a throw, and they're just disciplined and they're sound in their scheme. Are they perfect? Heck no. Nobody's playing play perfect D. Yeah. But it's just it's frustrating when you see we are more talented than the Iowa Hawkeyes across the board defensively. Across the board, there are a couple guys, Jack Campbell, dude, right? Justin Jacobs is going to be a dude, number 5. Pay attention to that name, Ohio kid. But they're I could go on for 3 hours. It's just
here's the deal, bud. Here's the deal. Regardless of – and there's so much to get to. We're getting into all of it. I can't – us – in a million years that I think we'd be bullied by Oregon at home.
No.
That's what happened.
No.
Like, we can talk about, and we will, confusion, what's being asked, high-end talent level, 7 yards a carry on 38 attempts.
Yeah.
And by the way, offensively, we averaged 4 yards a carry.
Yeah.
So they bullied us without Thibodeau, without Flo. They bullied us that way, and they bullied us the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Not in a million years.
I didn't think that.
No. Lots to get to. Kerry Combs up next. We'll hear from him on what happened defensively. Coach Day facing, I think, probably his first on-field adversity since he's been the head coach at Ohio State. We get to that as well. Austin Ward will join us, Dennis Dodd, for some national perspective on this one, the long road back, what it means. Can you put 14's season on this team? It's a lot. It's heavy, and I don't know if they're there and if they're ready for that yet, but you didn't know that in 14 either. Lots to get to. Off and running on a Reaction Monday. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Constantly interrupting valuable airtime to sell $3 stickers. What a business plan. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Pushing the limit of how many times you can say the word thing in one show.
That's the next thing.
That is the next thing.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. And who doesn't like saving money? I do. Kinetical Water Systems can help you save money, especially on something so small as just doing laundry. If you have soft water, like they provide with their whole home water system, you can use a quarter of the amount of detergent when doing laundry at your house. That's four loads for just one if you had hard water, like I used to. Saves hundreds of dollars a year. This is just another reason to do what I did, and that's go to kineticalcolumbus.com and set up your free, yes, I love it, free in-home water analysis today. KineticalColumbus.com.
All right, Kerry. By the way, I love Kerry Combs. This guy's an Ohio legend. He came back here as a defensive coordinator. He was great here the last time.
Absolutely.
All of it.
Yep.
But and give him credit. This is not give him credit. This is the job. You got to go answer for what happened on your unit. And Kerry did not shy away from that. He was available after the game on Saturday. He was asked about the D, and here he is on it being his responsibility.
I would say, once again, that everything that happens on a Saturday that could happen better defensively is going to be my responsibility, and it is my responsibility. So we are actively working every series when we come off the sideline to make adjustments and changes and do that appropriately. And, again, that's my responsibility. So it's frustrating when that doesn't get done.
We mentioned that sweep left. They ran short side, boundary side so many times, three times for touchdowns.
Yeah.
Here is Kerry on his team not being ready for those boundary plays.
I think the amount of plays that were run into the boundary side was something that they probably had not shown a good deal of, and I think that's where we had difficulty. But again, that's we make adjustments on the sideline. We go from there.
So we didn't see the adjustments, right?
Yeah.
Because it happened three times for touchdowns, and the only reason those weren't 70-yard runs is, frankly, because you ran into the end zone.
Right.
There was nobody there.
Yep.
Three separate times. So that adjustment did not happen in this game.
Yep. It's frustrating. And like you said, where's the it's not all on the middle field safety. I just know because I played with a couple of middle field safeties who can clear stuff up, you know, and we had bad angles. And
what is the thinking for the people that, you know, you're football genius. So explain to the
not
layman.
Really.
No, you
not
are.
Really.
You are. So when you say, you know, middle field safety, center field safety.
Yeah.
What is required of that player for this to work?
He is the angel in the middle, meaning when a ball pops, like on the 70-yard touchdown run, you take the correct angle there, and you get the guy down. It's tough. You have the whole field, but if you get right square in his face, at the very worst, right, you make the running back stop his feet, you hit him in the feet, the running back has to kind of adjust, bend his legs a little bit, collect himself. By that time, the DBs, boom. They're tackling them, right? You cannot take the wrong angle to where you don't even make C.J. Verdell slow down.
Right.
Multiple times on those boundary runs, it's the same player in the game, and for some reason there's no – by the third time it happens, and even if like their job is someone drops coverage in the middle of the field or someone gets beat, you're the angel. You're the guy there to help clean it up. Just tackle it. You know? If it was Malik Hooker, it's pick, right? It's impact play. But you don't have to be that. It's just save us so that we can get to another play. And that explosive play doesn't happen, right? The 70-yard touchdown run. The other ones, it's just it's tough because it's into the boundary. But by the time the third time it happens, you gotta, you know what? I know all week maybe we aligned right here. This is my, I'm lining on the guard.
Yeah.
But I can't get there to the perimeter the last two times it happened. Maybe I should widen out a little bit and line up on the tackle and not the guard. Those are the little in-game adjustments. And it happens to all of us. It's adjusting based on ability and what you're getting from the other team. I've had to do it. You know, it's a whole bunch of little things. And I don't know the flexibility that's given to the player. I don't, you know what I mean? I don't know what's allowed coaching-wise. There's a lot of stuff we did in the National Football League that was stuff that we wouldn't try to attempt in college just because there's different levels to the mental capability when you're on a field with a bunch of college kids versus pros. That's evident when you watch an NFL game, when you see the complexities of coverage. It's all anyway, but you know what? Last time I got picked. And so maybe I'm going to line way out here on the outside edge of the tackle because I'm not letting that play beat me again. Well, but I have the A-gap. You know what? Put a stunt on and tell your three technique to go from a three to the nose after the ball snapped and tell your end, you know what? You're not pass rushing this down because we can't stop the run. So you close. If that tackle comes to you, you go up on underneath and I'm going to run my butt outside and that thing ain't breaking contain. And you make the adjustment.
Yeah.
We never adjusted.
No, it was so comprehensive, the defensive breakdown. It was, there was nobody immune to it.
No.
You know, it was on the back end. Certainly it was at linebacker. We've gone over that. We did not set any sort of edge up front. We did not get any push up front. They got whatever they wanted to running the football, which is a stunning thing to have happen in your barn. And the result is one that now I think it's the first truly unexpected loss for Ryan Day as the head coach at Ohio State. Forever we said, and he didn't, it's not like they got, you know, they didn't get slumped by a poor team. This isn't Iowa or Purdue. Oregon's really good. But this is the first time where he was expected to win and didn't. And it's kind of shocking that they didn't and the way that it looked. You'll hear from Coach Day coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
We've been your Jackets flagship station since day one. All the goals, all the action, all the memories. Your home for the Columbus Blue Jackets, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. It's Bishop and Laurinaitis' What's Up?
What's up, man?
What's up with you?
Sponsored by your Central Ohio Honda dealers.
Well, it's actually What's Down. Boy, we've had a lot of these, too. When you think about non-conference, big week two home game losses. Mm-hmm. Think about Virginia Tech and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Go way back, you know, Texas, USC. There's been several of these. It's been a while since we've defended the home turf. At the shoe in the Power Five non-conference situation, this one was this is just out physical, and I didn't see that part of it coming. I mean, you lose to Baker Mayfield his senior year at Oklahoma. Okay, I mean that maybe was the best team in the country that year.
Right.
I don't know. I don't think this Oregon team's the best team in the country. They maybe. I don't know. Who knows? They were awfully impressive.
Brown, by the way.
What's that?
I said, and Brown, their quarterback, missed some guys.
Yes, he did.
Late, you could see Joe Moorhead's frustration.
Well, he called a game, didn't he?
He did call a game. He's growing a heck of a beard.
He really has.
He missed some throws. There were some guys. But I thought he also, you know what he kind of felt like to me? He felt like Tyrod Taylor. In the sense.
Mm-hmm. That's fair.
He was going to just. Early on, he had a mindset, I'll take my shots at being aggressive, right? Okay, it's obvious. Here comes the safety down. They're in single high. They're in cover three. I'm going to do a back shoulder fade here. Boom, caught over Cam Brown. Okay, next time, I'm going to go, you know, do another one. You know, I'll take my shots here and there, right? And there were some plays, you know, the pop passes to the tight end and stuff like that, right? It wasn't like he was just sitting back and rocking the baby, but well, he did have plenty of time to throw. But you get the point. It wasn't like, hey, five out, and I'm going to read the, you know, go through all five progressions. No, it was, I know where, I'm smart enough to know what coverage they're in. I know the matchups that I want, and I made the throws that I had to. And then once the game was in hand, it was very Tyrod Taylor where, you know what, I couldn't make this throw. That guy's open. We don't really need it, you know? So I'm going to eat this one and run, scramble for a 4-yard gain and punt, you know? Where you're kind of like, as far as national title for Oregon, I do think the quarterback position is good enough, but it needs to be, he needs to make a few more plays. I will say, though, was it 3rd and 2 when he decided to lower his shoulder?
Oh, boy, yeah, it was.
And get the first down? And
there's
I was
so
like,
much,
there was just little plays like that to where you said to yourself, I mean, these boys, they're not backing down, you know, because everyone comes in all chesty and jumping around the sideline and, oh, it's the shoe and yay, all that. Like, everyone pretends to be there. But when we got it within seven and that place was rocking and then they'd go down and score and then we'd get it within seven, I kept waiting. Like, you and I were texting and you were like, it kind of still, like, you still felt, this is good. Like, Oregon's going to Oregon, right? Like,
yeah, at some
screw
point.
It up, they'll three and out.
Sure.
And that, but no, we did. But they did three and out, and then they had two stops by their defense. And you're just like, man, they just kept fighting and fighting and fighting. It's a huge program win for them and for the Pac-12.
It's a monster. And for Ryan Day, it's the first time he lost a game that you're shocked he lost. I think in the semifinal against Clemson, I mean, we went over it. 10 games, 10 things had to happen. Clemson had all 10 things, and they won. But that was Trevor Lawrence and Clemson and all the talent that they have. It's not like you were going, my gosh, what? How did that happen? Last year in the Chipper against Bama, maybe a historically good Alabama team, right?
Yeah.
So it wasn't like around the country, like, oh, my God, how'd that happen? This is the first one of those for Coach Day. This is the first one of, really? Really? Yeah. First on-field adversity for Coach Day. And you say to yourself, well, where do you go from here? Here's Coach Day answering that question.
Well, I mean, just go back to work and you know, I think when you go through adversity, you find out, you know, a lot about your team. You find out a lot about your leadership. And, you know, while this hurts, it feels awful. It's unacceptable. You know, the thing you're going to find out is about your team and who the leaders are and who the guys that are with you. Because in times like this, there's a lot of finger pointing that goes on. You know, when things are going well, it's easy to lead. But when things don't go well, that's when you have to show resolve and resilience. And so that's going to be a lesson for our guys in this game right here, or, you know, coming out of this game. And this is not fatal, but certainly hurts. It's unacceptable, and we got to get it fixed.
Yeah, and I think coming out of it, you have to say, when you know, get it fixed, all of, I think everything ought to be on the table, because you're going to play Tulsa and Akron next two. You know, So look, you've got you have two games that where you can get it right, and I think everything ought to be on the table, offensively, defensively. What do you want to be? What do you want to be this year? How do you work to that? Are you playing the right guys? Are we playing the right guys? Yeah. Those are questions. Those are the tough questions that need to be answered. And they need to get answered here in the next couple of weeks before you get into Big Ten play. And certainly before you have any conversation about 2014 and what that team was able to accomplish. And let's also remember, every single thing that had to fall our way in 14, the odds of all that happening again, who knows, right?
Well, the hard thing is that in 14, I will say this, I'm more confident just because of, like, the 14 was so bad with the way it looked that you were like, you're right, there's so much to have. You can't even relate to 14. It was such a storybook, Disney
it's a 30 made for 30.
Thing, right? Like, it's so out there. But I will say, the hard thing for us, as far as nationally, this is our job. As a player, you're not worried about it. As a player, you're putting your head down, and Ryan's absolutely right. You're going in there, you're leading the same exact way. You're going about it. You're going day in, day out. You're trying to tune out the noise. Guess what? Just the same way you would do if it was a big win. Tune out the noise. We got to go to work. We, you know, all this stuff. And so, as a player, that's where you're at. But for us, the national narrative on us right now, and it's been this way the last 2 years, okay? This is not new to us.
No.
Justin covered it up last year, is that we don't play good defense anymore.
Right.
Like, people clump us in with Oklahoma. It's the same. Like, if you look at the stats, just off of these early, you know, two things, like, if you look at the stats, it is outrageous. Total defense, 13th in the Big Ten out of 14, nationally 112th. Scoring defense, 108th, 12th out of 14 in the Big Ten. Rushing defense, 117th nationally, dead last in our conference. Passing defense, 11th out of 14. 77th nationally. And look, it's week two. I get that. But you put on the silver bullet for that reason. It's the expectations. And it sucks when you don't live up to it. I know. I've watched the Florida film. I've watched LSU. I felt the Illinois upset. I mean, I know what it feels like. But you put your head down and you go back to work. And you don't adjust here's what you can't do. You can't adjust your expectations.
No.
The expectations stay the same. They are never flinching. So quit adjusting the expectations and how we demand that we play football.
No. You can't do that. And I do mean it. I do think everything's on the table. We'll get into that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
The only workplace in America to participate in the doorknob fart game. And we also play office basketball and sometimes do radio. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Top shelf conversation from top shelf gentlemen.
That's a pretty emphatic situation.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And The Fan presents Reaction Monday, our time to recap all the football storylines from the weekend. Reaction Monday is sponsored by our friends at Taco Bell, The Fan, Ohio sports destination. So, in college football, you don't necessarily have to... It's not the NFL where your scheme has to be elite. You don't. You can cover it up with elite players. First-round picks. That you can cover it up. Your plan doesn't have to... You can be sound. You can just be sound. Fundamentally sound. You don't have to be that confusing.
Yeah.
And then if you have these elite players, they can cover that up. One-man wrecking crew. I was looking at our last four... signing classes going back to 2018 and not counting 2022, where you obviously have the two defensive ends for the top two defensive ends of the country. By the way, JTT playing in the fourth quarter of the game batted a ball down.
JTT, not like that. There's a play in there where JTT, a guard pulls, on a counter play to try to get him, and he collapses the guard. Like,
we'll play the kid
into him, guard falls down, yep. Makes the tackle.
Yep. Time to go. Let's go. So I was looking at this, though, pal. We've had 3 5-star defensive players. Not that that guarantees anything. It doesn't. It doesn't. It definitely doesn't. But we have 3 5-star defensive players since 18, not counting 2022 when we had the two I mentioned. So it's Zach Harrison in 19. It's Teron Vincent in 18. And Tyreek Johnson in 18, the safety out of the Jacksonville area. He's in Nebraska. Johnson's at Nebraska. So Teron Vincent and Zach Harrison are the other 2 5-star guys. Then you start to look at the high 4 guys, and it's Taraja Mitchell, Tyreek Smith, Ronnie Hickman, Tommy Eichenberg, Cody Simon. These are the kids in those classes. And you say to yourself, okay, where are the pros? And this is for the last couple of years now, because last year, it wasn't it either. And this was after a string of success defensively that probably is pretty close to unparalleled. But we've said this a lot on that. You're not entitled to a Bosa or a Chase Young.
Yeah.
You're not entitled to a top 5 corner taken every year. But that's what we grew accustomed to, was guys who can go from here to stars in the NFL next day.
And we've been spoiled so much. And look, I understand that. We've been extremely spoiled with the D linemen, with the corners. It's not realistic to have a top 5 dude every single time.
Right.
And some of that, has just been being spoiled from Joey to Nick to Chase. And we put lofty expectations on guys like Zach Harrison, who is a really good player and will be a first round pick. Does not mean that the production, like we automatically in our minds put that production that Chase had, and we think he should be having 3 sacks every game, the game is hard, right?
Sure.
The game of football. And when teams are able just to run the football like they did, guess what? There's not as many pass plays.
Right.
And your get-off, like, if you're one of those DNs, I can't just get in track stance. How many times were they in 3rd and 10? 3rd and 7+? Like, no, they were in 3rd and shorts. The whole playbook's open. Are they going to run it here? Is it 4-down territory? Is it a play action where I have to convert from playing a run stance to now going to pass, and now I'm a step behind and trying to hit a counter move? So there's a lot of intricacies into it. It's just overall, I'm just not seeing a very confident defense, that knows what they're doing, that's going to go out there and wants to just put their stamp on a game and be the reason, why you're winning.
You don't see those guys that just are like that defensively you rally around. We've had those guys where it's like you look to somebody and go, oh, I'm following that dude. You were that guy. Malcolm was that guy. During Urban's years, there was a ton of those guys.
Yeah.
Chase and Akuda. All those. Who's the guy, and we haven't had it in a linebacker in a while, who's the guy that you're like, Oh, that's – I follow that dude anywhere. Anywhere. Right there. Right. That guy. He's
Where's
got
the
us.
Alpha?
Who's that guy? Because, you know, we had a lot of three-time captains defensively the last few years. Two-time mm-hmm. captains. But I, even then, I didn't see that.
Right.
I didn't see, like, oh, that, follow him.
Yeah.
Follow that guy. That's the guy. Yep. So those things aren't happening. And Saturday, it all came home to roost against a good team that was prepared, that was tougher than you, that was more physical, that was better. It almost would have been a shame to win the game because Oregon deserved it. They deserved
yeah,
to win the game.
Yeah, I walked away saying, team you know won. What, Oregon was the better football team.
They're better, yeah.
They were the better football team. And we look, I didn't expect this. Like, nobody, none of us expected this.
No.
But you did say to yourself, you know, it just finally dawned on me on Friday where I was like, you know what, at least as far as their roster, they have guys
mm-hmm.
that are like us. You know, like Coach says it all the time, when talent equates, I didn't think they had as many. And when you take Thibodeau off the field, which
no Thibodeau, no flow, and they still had it.
Did I not say I thought that he was going to talk to his people,
yep.
and his people would recommend the guest? Almost had me doubting myself, but
no bad tape.
I was like, look, a tough, wait, like, why would you, Coach? I'm not trying to go out. Look, Coach, yep. I love it. Go Ducks. But you, I promise you, like, scouts, you'll have some that will be like, hey, look, he won 100% versus DeJuan Jones and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. And you'll have others who will be like, he got owned by those guys. Yeah, but didn't he have an ankle? Nope. I mean, allegedly, you know,
right.
he's soft. No, I'm not. I'm leaving no doubt. It's what the Bosa brothers do.
Absolutely.
Leave no doubt. If you don't feel 100%, I'm not going out there.
Denzel, a little bit too. So, yeah, there's a lot of that. All right, we hit higher, lower up next. Where the Buckeyes are in the new AP poll, where do they deserve to be? It's coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Threes and Uncle Bo. If you know, you know. You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And doing so on a Reaction Monday edition of the program. We always do a little higher or lower with the around college football using the college football poll. We'll do the playoff poll once it comes out, but for now we use the AP. And for this we use Chopper. Hit it, Chops.
It's time for higher or lower on Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, let's start with the one we're talking about. Oregon up to number 4. Ohio State fell to number 9. Higher or lower?
Well, I would have Oregon. I could maybe move them up one spot. I would have Oregon better than 4, ranked slightly higher. In terms of us, I'm just looking down there and seeing.
We're better than A&M. I don't. What?
I know
why,
we're better
A&M
than. There's no question we're better than A&M. I'm just thinking from behind us. Is there anybody who is more impressive early in the season than we've been? It's probably appropriate. I'm probably fine with it. I'll tell you what. Oregon deserves to be better than Oklahoma.
I can't understand Oklahoma getting back. I mean, Oregon should be ahead of Oklahoma. I believe that A&M is too high. I might get to it, so I'm sorry. But anyway, yeah, as we look at us, I think that we are situated just fine. There's nobody behind us to where I'm like, no. I'm still angry that the fact that some of these teams, as I scroll down the list, and we talk about this all the time, about brand.
It matters so much.
Like, I understand that they only beat Idaho. But you mean to tell me that the Indiana isn't can't be anywhere in here in the 20s?
Yeah.
I mean, you saw what Iowa just did on the road at Iowa State to a team that I've heard a lot of analysts before the game saying they're going to win the Big 12, not Oklahoma.
Okay. You want to play a game on how stupid polls are and branding? USC has 39 others receiving votes.
Yeah, after getting the worst loss to Stanford.
Has 10. Are we watching the game, people?
Right.
Are we watching the game?
Yep. Are we watching football?
They played.
They did. When?
The teams played.
Oh, wait. It must have been a barn burner.
By the way,
close. No, it wasn't? Oh, my gosh.
Kansas State beat Stanford,
man.
And they have less receiving votes than USC as well.
Man. There's a lot of stuff going on in our world that doesn't make sense. That's one of them.
That's tough.
Iowa climbs all the way to number 5 after their win at Iowa State. Higher or lower?
I like it. I like where they're at. You wouldn't get an argument for me putting them against ahead of Oklahoma. I know what I'm getting out of them. I'm going to get really, really sound defense. They're going to make you earn everything. Look, it's basically the way we used to operate under Tress. We're going to try to play dominant defense, make you earn every single yard, every drive, opportunistic offense. And if you can't, like, if we have the lead, then we're not going to risk a dang thing giving you the ball back with turnovers or any of that other stuff. So they just play a sound game. They're never going to be sexy to watch. They're never going to be flashy. But they're just going to play tough and disciplined. I'm perfectly fine with where they're at. They could be 4, they could be 5, who knows? But they're in a good situation.
So when I did this for 2 seasons, was an AP voter for 2 seasons, and I tried to do it week to week based on what I saw week to week, not based on a preseason poll or moving up. The poll mentality, right? Which is you win, you stay, or you move up. You lose, you drop.
Yeah.
No, sometimes you can drop in a win.
Yeah.
And sometimes you can go up in a loss, right? Mm-hmm. If you play better than you thought. You could make a very sound argument. It's a good argument. It's not one that's impossible, that Oregon should be the number 2 team in the country.
Yeah.
You could do the same thing with Iowa.
Yep.
You could do the same thing with Georgia.
Yep.
So it's Alabama, and it's some order of Georgia, Oregon, Iowa. If you're doing the college football playoff right now, that's the 4 it is. It's Alabama, it's Georgia, it's Oregon, it's Iowa. Those are the 4. So if the Hawkeyes want to be second for chops and he can walk on water for a week, fine. Put them second. But they're impressive. They're awful impressive. Oregon's impressive. Georgia's defense is legit.
Yep.
I got to say, I tend to agree with you, Bo. That's a good take by you. Arkansas jumped in the rankings at number 20 after upsetting, quotes, Texas. Higher or lower?
Man, I didn't have this.
No.
I did not have this slumping.
No.
Sam Pittman can coach it. He can coach it, and he creates belief. I hope he stays there. I loved how they trolled Texas.
Welcome to the league.
Boy, that was good. That was very good. I think this game is higher or lower. I would have Arkansas a little higher than where they are. I think they're probably better than Arizona State. I'm not high on Wisconsin. I did not catch them this week, obviously, but last week when I saw them play against Penn State, I'm shocked at how bad they are throwing the football. I really thought Graham Mertz would be further along. I can't have them ahead of Ole Miss, though. I think Ole Miss would be above them, but I think they could be ranked slightly higher than where they are.
Yeah, I agree with everything you just said. The trolling of Texas is great.
So good.
I also think that there's nobody better at adjusting their takes on schools than Paul Feinbaum. you know, like if this was last year, because I've listened to him talk about Texas and how they're not back, they're a ghost of what they used to be, all those things, right? And yesterday I heard his take, or maybe it was on Saturday afternoon or evening. His take was basically, I think Texas is absolutely fine. They've positioned themselves well to enter the league. They'll be really competitive. Sark's going to have this. They've recruited well recently since Sark. Like, okay. If that school was still in the Big 12, you would have crushed them. Talking about SEC power, but now that they're joining the league. Okay. Anyway, yes, Arkansas deserves to be right where they're at.
A narrow escape of Toledo has Notre Dame falling to 12th. Mm. Higher or lower?
I texted my buddy and just said, look, 2-0. 2-0. There are a lot of teams that would love to be 2-0 right now. But they got some issues. And big plays are hurting them right now. The Florida State lost to Jacksonville State. That makes it look even worse, right? So, quite honestly, I would probably have UCLA ahead of them. I don't even know how to think of Coastal Carolina. I can't deal.
Yeah.
So they're kind of in that area where what teams are. I think Ole Miss is better than them.
Yeah.
Who knows? As you look down this list,
Michigan might be. I know, but I mean,
Michigan threw for 44 yards in a college football game. It is 2021.
It's amazing, right? Look, probably lower for Notre Dame.
Yeah.
That for a team that you thought was, that a lot of people said, okay, this is a team that can go, not yet. Not yet. And they, I mean, this game's on Peacock TV, so I didn't even see it. So certainly saw the highlights, but I wasn't able to watch the game to see, you know, the type of physicality, those type of things. But everything, it seems that Toledo had every opportunity. So, you know, you're 17-point favorite at home. That can't happen. So if you're basing them on what they've done so far, I think they'd have to be ranked lower. They'd have to be behind UCLA. Ole Miss probably. They should probably be around where Wisconsin is, somewhere down there.
Two more for you. We'll hop into that UCLA. They had the week off, and they went up three spots to number 13. Higher or lower?
Well, I just said they should be higher than Notre Dame. Look, the Pac-12 smell like roses right now, man.
Mm-hmm.
They got Oregon. They got UCLA.
Can we get Oregon, UCLA, undefeated matchup possibly in the Pac-12 championship?
Yeah.
Is that still an awful Santa Clara?
I don't know. There's no good place to play that. That league's too spread out. There's no place to play it. And the teams who represent are from, you know, it's not like we're so lucky in that.
There actually is a good place. Could probably play in Los Angeles at SoFi.
No, that place is pretty good. Yeah,
you know, I've heard it's an easy place for everyone to fly into.
Lots of flights
to go to LAX.
Yeah, lots of flights into that one. I'm fine where they are. They could be up a little bit, not much.
Yeah, I mean, they're good. I mean. Meaning, like, I'm fine with where they're at. I'm not pounding the table for, them to be higher. Like I said, Notre Dame should be down one or a couple, and UCLA can slide up there.
You mentioned them at the beginning. Here it is. Texas A&M got hopped by a few teams down to number 7. Higher or lower?
What? Why are they?
They're too high.
Folks.
They
should
be lower.
Folks. When it drives me nuts when people say the AP poll doesn't matter. Yes, it does. The AP preseason poll doesn't matter. Of course it does. Why? Because it allows teams to stay high that do not deserve it. This A&M team, I don't know how everybody decided that they were going to be this little darling to start the year. You remember when you and I were doing SEC previews, like, what is the love for A&M? I didn't see it. I did not see the love for A&M. I've seen them play twice now. Watched quite a bit of their game against Colorado. Colorado should have beat them. Yeah. Colorado's nothing special. And they should have beat them. But for whatever reason, there was this narrative around them, oh, watch out for A&M. Herbie was doing it. Watch out for A&M. Why?
Well, now we're acting like Colorado is like supposed to challenge in the Pac-12. No, they weren't.
No, they're not.
No.
No, they weren't.
No.
No.
No. You can't even name their head coach, people. Like, let's be honest. If you're outside the conference, you can't name their head coach. A lot of people probably still think it's Mel Tucker.
In the preseason, I got lucky. So A&M should be behind UCLA. They should be behind Florida, Penn State, Ohio State, Cincinnati for sure. No, I don't see it. I don't understand what anybody sees with A&M.
Yeah.
But this is why it matters so much is because as long as they kind of – if they lose, they'll drop to 13 instead of to 25. And then the committee, when they gather for the first time, you don't think they pull this poll out? You go, oh, we got to keep an eye on these teams. Of course they do. So Texas A&M is, for reasons beyond anything I can wrap my head around, getting a benefit of the doubt they do not deserve. 7th?
Yep.
Have you watched them for 2 weeks?
Yep. They are not.
Not 7th. No, not. Not at all. Big, and we'll get in as the week goes along. Man, we're all Nittany Lions kids. Auburn going in there this weekend.
Let's go.
White out at night. We're all Nittany Lions.
Big.
Oh, boy. Florida hosting Bama. That'll be. I've heard all this fun stuff about Florida's two quarterbacks. Well, Dad's coming home. We'll see how that goes. All right. Back to the Buckeyes coming up next. Haskell Garrett said something, and I understand where he's coming from, but is it fair – for us, not him. I get what he's doing. Is it fair for the rest of us to talk about 14? I tend to think that it is, but we'll get into it coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Your home of the Buckeyes, Jackets, NFL, Major League Baseball, and pretty much everything you can shake a stick at.
What? It's a saying.
The Fan. Two legends, one show.
Well, it's all a lie.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
My friends, mortgage rates have plummeted. They're at the lows of the year. Your home value is at the highs of the year, and you can take advantage of this unique situation with my friends at Neighborhood Lender. You can refinance right now with Neighborhood Lender, pay zero closing costs, even skip the next one or two house payments altogether. They do this at Neighborhood Lender. Neighborhood Lender makes refinancing easy, all digital, super fast platform. There is no paperwork, no junk fees, no big bank hassle. You can refinance right now and get the rate of your lifetime, lower your house payment, no closing costs. You can also refinance and get cash out. I don't know how many people are aware of this. You can get the cash out of your home's equity. They're getting tens, $50,000, $60,000 out of their home, paying off credit cards, debt, putting that money back into their home to improve the value. You need to act now, though. Get a better loan, get cash out, lower your payment, pay zero in closing costs, and skip your next house payment altogether. Call Neighborhood Lender right now, 614-882-LOAN, 614-882-LOAN, neighborhoodlender.com, 614-882-LOAN, Eagle Housing Lender, NMLS 69349. Not all loans apply for no closing cost option, subject to lender approval. All right, this was Haskell Garrett after the loss to Oregon, and I don't blame him, because this is what you do when you're a man in the arena. Here's Haskell.
It's a non-conference game. I don't look at it as an L. I look at it as a lesson. Rank it on the film tomorrow, and just make all the corrections. We played one hell of a game, and so did Oregon. But you know, it's a non-conference game. Our objective has always been to get to Indy. So we're gonna make the corrections. We're gonna get back to it. They did it in 2014. We can do it in 2021.
Only thing, I didn't play one hell of a game defensively, but other than that, I understand what he's trying to do and rally his troops and be the leader.
That's what you're supposed to do as a leader.
That's what you're supposed to do, man.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That's the soundbite you're supposed to give right there.
You got to make sure the guys show up the day after when everyone's sulking around, feeling sorry for themselves. Maybe a few are hungover, and you say to yourself, you know what? We need to get a damn good recovery day. And you be the guy to be positive, because I don't know how the coaching staff will handle it, but I knew when Luke Fickell was going to be a jerk. I knew it. So I had to try to be positive around the guys, because I knew that we were going to get lit up.
Yeah.
And a lot of times we were lit up more after wins, to be honest.
Sure.
Than we were losses. Because coaches know. They got to feel the room. But there's a delicate, and this is true. This is honestly true. Most of the time, it's not the case for us defensively, but most of the time, when you lose, it's never as bad as it seems on tape. And when you win, it's never as good as it seems. You hear coaches say that all the time because it's true.
Yeah.
Now, in our case, I watch the tape. I know what it looks like defensively. And there's a lot of good stuff. Like, listen, that's not coach speak. There is some good plays on there where you're like, man, that's good stuff. That's good stuff. We can coach that up. So usually after games like this, what you'd get is you'd get kind of a cut up of stuff you got to correct on. A lot of times you go walk through that stuff, whether it's verbalizing, whether it's calls, checks, any of those stuff, right? Stuff you can get through in a walkthrough.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get a sense on the way you were supposed to fit it or the way it was supposed to look, the check you were supposed to make. And then you can go through after games like that and run through plays that were examples of what we need more of, right? And so it's a way to kind of try to keep the confidence up. Because, look, it is both. You do need guys to play confident. But right now there's a disconnect of, are they trusting what they're seeing? Are they trusting what they're being taught? And there's a balance. I don't think you can drop the standard just for the sake of saying, let's boost confidence.
Yeah.
No, find another way to boost confidence,
you know,
and uphold the standard.
One thing about 14 to remember, it's not like anybody after the loss to Virginia Tech was like, oh, yeah, let's go play for a national title.
Oh, no.
There was no talk of that.
No.
I mean, there were a million questions.
Three or four
the Bear front, how many are we going to lose? But then things started to happen, and this is something that we won't know until you're in it.
Yeah.
Leaders emerged.
Yep.
Young kids grew into men.
Yep.
Right? You think about guys like Evan Spencer and Joshua Perry. You think about what Ezekiel Elliott, Joey Bosa, what JT Barrett became.
Yep.
JT Barrett became follow me. Follow me.
Yep.
It all manifested up at Michigan State. That's when that team kind of realized what it could be, was at Michigan State.
Yep.
That was when it went, okay, we know who we are now, and we can go. And with all of that, and by the way, the people whose names that I'm talking about right now, like, a lot of them are pros. first-round picks, that type of stuff. But they realized what they were. They grew up. So who on this team is going to do that if you want to talk about 14? So you have to have people do that. The other thing is, in 14, everything that had to go your way did.
Yep.
It all did. I mean, the first playoff poll, I want to say they were 16th.
Yep.
I think they were 16th, and they came all the way up in a month and a half or whatever, 2 months, however long, you know, the last, I think that thing was early October. They came out of the blue for that, right? So that's the thing to remember. But what that team did and what this team needs to do is just next game.
Yep.
We are so accustomed to around, they really need to have an NFL approach to this. We're so accustomed to around here of pointing to Indy or the playoff because that's what we do. Because the regular season is what it is. It's not. Yeah. There aren't that many challenges in it. You're going to play Tulsa and Akron the next two games. You're going to win those games going away. But what the NFL is really good at, most the great teams in the NFL, they focus only on the next day and the next game. Win your division, right?
Yep.
Not win the Super Bowl. Win your division.
This is when those goals that we have looked at and kind of giggled at, right, where you look on the count, on the schedule in the locker room, and it has it down there, and then it says beat the team up north, win the Big Ten, you know, then win the college football championship. We've laughed because it just seemed like it was a foregone conclusion. We're going to beat our rival.
Yep.
We're going to win the Big Ten. It's going to be easy. Well, guess what? The wake-up call that was the Oregon Ducks gives us a chance to kind of hone in, refocus, and say, you know what? We can't worry about what Oklahoma's doing. We can't worry about praying for Clemson to lose. We can't worry about hopefully Georgia or Alabama stumbles. Right. Or what? I mean, gosh, we can't worry about all the other noise, right? Gosh, hopefully Notre Dame loses. Can't worry about it. All we can worry about is going back, focusing everything you have to winning the Big Ten Conference and hoping the rest plays itself out. Because that's it. We can, now me, you and I, we can play the whole game of, we'll play that game.
Sure.
I mean, we can understand, you know what, I sure hope that we got, I sure hope that we have Iowa undefeated in Indy. Right?
Yep.
I'm the biggest Hawkeye fan for that reason.
Same. Right?
Chopper texted us over the weekend. I guess we need to rely on Iowa to stay in the top five by the time we get to Indy.
Right.
I'll hope for that.
Me
right?
too.
I'll hope for some of the other help because we're going to need help, I feel like, as it goes down the stretch here. But as a player, you focus, you're right. You lock in, you look in the mirror, and you say, and this is true of everybody. Like this is, and this will be more of a challenge for our offense than anything else. Like offensively, what's missed the fact for the first time ever we've had 300-yard receivers in a game. Like those guys, and I know they have great leadership because I know the kind of coach they have in Heartline, and I know what Olave will do, and I know what those guys will bring. But it's going to be important that our offense just looks in the mirror. Even after you have a great game, you look in the mirror and you say, okay, how could have I been better?
Yep.
And that starts with Olave. That starts with Wilson. If you do that, because the hardest thing right now when all this is happening is those kids are going to class, and they're hearing it from, if they get in the conversation, man, what's up with the defense? What's up with the defense? No, don't worry about all that. They'll take care of it. I got to worry about every player needs, it sounds cliche, but it's true. How can I be better this week? How can I focus on the details even more this week against Tulsa?
Yeah.
To that, when I go out there, I execute, and I play a damn clean game. No missed assignments. I'm where I'm supposed to be. You know, I'm executing my job. On defense, I'm doing my 1/11th. Coach Haycock, you said all the time, 1/11th.
Yeah.
And it sounded corny and dumb, but it's true. You do your job and then sprint to the damn ball.
Yep.
Don't worry about everybody else's. And that's what it goes back to. It goes back to those basics.
It does. Austin Ward on the loss on Saturday and where this Buckeye team goes from here. Is everything on the table? I kind of think it should be. We'll get his take on that coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
Matty Ice never placed a bet before meeting Anthony Rothman. And now, where both his kneecaps are broken, Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays from noon to 3.
The Fan. Well-dressed, well-spoken, but never, ever a well drink.
How about chaos?
Insanity. Absolute insanity.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time to head out on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline for a visit with our good buddy Austin Ward at Letterman Row. Talk to him every Monday on a Reaction Monday. Last week, buddy, I think I asked you, now that you had the experience of seeing everybody else in college football, how did you feel about Ohio State's performance on Thursday? This is very, very different, right? Because should we have known better? Should we have known better? Should we have expected this defensively?
Yeah, I don't think so, Bo. I mean, a lot of people will say that they called this, that they were concerned about last year, and yeah, they get to be proved right here. But I thought that once you gave, you know, a healthy team coming off of the full spring, the summer, full training camp, you know, that opener against Minnesota, and you're missing your top cornerbacks and a couple other starters from that team. So, well, you know, just give them a chance to get fully healthy, and then you'll see some things. They were experimenting in the opener. Well, I mean, I guess I have to say that I was wrong and those other people were right, because what I saw on Saturday was nowhere near good enough. And now you're talking about three straight games with over 30 points allowed and just huge piles of yardage and getting easily manipulated by opposing offensive coordinators for three straight games. So there's a problem. And, you know, I wanted to reserve judgment, and now I think it's fair to make one.
Yeah, Austin, how do you I guess, how do you correct it now? You know, because you're going to play 2 weeks of games to where there can still be issues that maybe the fans won't see, you know, so the pressure might not be there after playing a Tulsa or an Akron, because I feel like there could still be some stuff that's open, right? And maybe, oh man, we weren't gap sound there, and the coaches will know it, but we won't know it because, you know what, Haskell Garrett shed a block and made a play, right? But they had him accounted for. And then, you know, when we get back into a like opponent, then maybe we'll, and look, that's not going to, Rutgers isn't even going to be that, right? So it's going to be a long time. Nope. I'm just saying, how do you even fix it? Because you're not just going to throw everything that you're doing out the window, you know, at this point.
That's the hardest part about evaluating it from the outside, James, and I think it'll also be the hardest part about addressing it inside the Woody, because as we were talking about, I mean, even once you get into Rutgers in Maryland, and I think even it can include Indiana in that, the only like true talent equated game, that's, you know, the way Ohio State likes to look at it, that I think on the schedule when Penn State comes before Halloween and maybe in the rivalry game, which we'll still see if that's real as we move forward. But, you know, so you have to really be honest if you're Ryan Day and Kerry Combs about what you're seeing and if that's going to be good enough. Because as Bo likes to say, you guys do this every Monday, you're really only evaluating yourself against the national title contenders, and you might narrow that down specifically to Alabama. So, you know, I know that that is not the way that anybody on a day-to-day basis for Ohio State has to operate, because you're trying to get to Indy, you're trying.
Do we lose Austin there?
We always lose Austin.
Man, we got to get him a landline. We'll see if we can get him back.
Boost Mobile or something.
I'm here.
Oh, he's there. He's back.
Oh, there he is.
There we go. He's back. Quick drop. Go ahead, buddy. Finish
I don't know what is going on. Boost. Did somebody say Boost Mobile? I'll
have nope. Nobody said it. We burned tape.
I think James, you've got to, everybody has to be honest, because they have the talent to win every other game in the Big Ten and win it easily, including Penn State, including Michigan, but. If you're going to be serious about winning a national championship, you have to know that there real changes have to be made, and that this scheme and the way that they're rotating personnel is probably not going to get that done.
I agree with you. I don't think it's. I think this. You know, schematically, I see players who don't know what they're being asked to do or aren't confident in what they're being asked to do. The next step of it is, I don't see anybody that's a Band-Aid. Austin, I don't see anybody who it's like, okay, we did this wrong, but I'm going to erase our mistakes. So I don't see that. And I think you probably lost the one guy that, from my vantage point, looked like he had that in Proctor. That did not look good.
Yeah.
I don't know if we've gotten anything official on that. I haven't seen anything yet, but that didn't look great. So now you say, okay, well, so you don't have an eraser. You're schematically, there's confusion in terms of what players are supposed to be being asked to be done. And then the other thing that I don't see is, boy, you just don't see a ton of pros running around. To me, everything ought to be on the table in terms of how to make this right.
And a lot of this is summed up in in that area at safety with Josh Proctor being out. Ohio State, I don't think, has to say anything. That bone was outside of the skin. I think we know what that injury means and what that's going to leave a huge hole for Ohio State moving forward. So are you going to try to revamp the scheme? Are you ready to put Court Williams back out there? I don't know why he's not been on the unavailable list in the first 2 weeks. And he's somebody who has been talked about as someone who would have been a starter as a true freshman before he got hurt last year. Do you want to move Lathan Ransom there? He's played very well. Or are you just going to start playing the NFL guys that are on this team, Bo? I mean, Cameron Brown, I don't know why you take him off the field in key situations. He was having a tremendous game after missing the opener. Denzel Burke, he's clearly one of your top two cornerbacks. Leave him on the field. I mean, Cody Simon is playing probably the most athletic of any linebacker. Why do you take him off the field? These were competitive games, not just Minnesota, but against Oregon. You had to have your best players play the best. Like, I can't imagine being like, you know what, James, you're really good at linebacker, but we're only going to play you 40 snaps because we think this other guy should play 25, again, a top 25 matchup. That's insanity. Play your best players and win the best games.
Austin, I tell you who doesn't come off the field. Jack Campbell at Iowa, their Mike linebacker, doesn't come off the field. None of their dudes, they're not rotating, their corners, their two guys. And look, they don't have the depth that we do either, but I just think you got to get to a point where you're like, you know what, if we got 11 guys and that's all we roll with, maybe if we got 13, then let's roll with them. Yeah, like we'll get the other guys in this week, next week, and maybe fourth quarter against Rutgers. We'll get them in, right? But not the first 2 weeks against a conference opponent, and then obviously the Ducks. The positives, just how do you evaluate, I guess, CJ? Because he's not the reason why you lose, obviously. 3 100-yard wide receivers, it's incredible. But you also feel like when you just watch, you feel like, a few throws here and there. And look, we're comparing him to Justin, right? Which I understand is unfair. But just your evaluation of the way CJ played.
I guess it's the way it goes that I shouldn't have been surprised that people were asking for a change on Saturday, but it doesn't make any sense to me. Unless the shoulder is actually hurt, and I specifically asked him about that on Saturday, because he had days in training camp where Ohio State had him on a pitch count, wasn't letting him throw. We see what he's doing on the sideline with, twirling the arm around. If that's causing some of the high throws, maybe then you have to have a conversation. But he also threw, 54 times for almost 500 yards. He and that receiving core are the only reason that game was close at all. And there is a lot invested in teaching him the offense, his physical development, his mental development. I think Ohio State is absolutely fine with C.J. Stroud as long as he's healthy. But now, again, we're talking about a situation where maybe now you do want to do some substituting against Tulsa or Akron. And in case something does go wrong with that shoulder, that Kyle McCord needs to be ready. So he needs to start seeing some of those reps probably. I don't know how you manage that because you're also still young with Stroud. Like, there's a lot of things, James, that are just hard for Ohio State to figure out right now, and I didn't think that this would be the situation after two games.
Yeah. No, I didn't either. But here's the thing. This is going to be awfully interesting. It's a long season. You're still in it, but there are finite issues that got to get sorted out. Austin, we always appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for your time on a Monday.
All right, we'll see you guys.
All right, time for a little thing or not a thing up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics. The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Hello.
Two guys who love to see it. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Hey, time for a little thing or not a thing. Chopper's here. Go, Chops.
Bishop and Laurinaitis. Thing or not a thing.
Sponsored by Geico Insurance.
Thanks to our guy James for pointing this one out to me. Just breaking from Adam Schefter, Lions cornerback Jeff Okuda, the third overall pick in the 2020 draft, ruptured his Achilles during Sunday's loss to the 49ers, per source. Thing or not a thing?
Huge thing. Heartbreaks for him. Had a great camp.
Yep.
Beyond that, though, I think it's time you start to evaluate how much we're trying to put on ligaments. It's too many 22-year-olds blowing Achilles, man.
time to reevaluate the turf at Ford Field.
Also valid. And the shoe, for that matter. I haven't even got into that.
There's a place in the end zone where you can actually feel like a plate underneath the turf, to where obviously when the turf's not there, it's like an electrical thing to plug in stuff for concerts. It's been complained about a bunch. But typical, like the PA, you know, they... You know, we'll try to talk to the National Football League, but, you know, they don't really listen to us.
SportsCenter pointing this out. Trevor Lawrence's loss versus the Texans was his first regular season loss ever. That includes high school, college, and the NFL. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it's an incredible, absurd thing that he never lost a regular season game.
Never lost.
Yeah. But also, he's going to have a lot more.
Yeah, he's going to make up for it. Yep.
It's going to be.
The challenge for him will be don't get used to it.
Weren't you shocked by how unorganized they were?
Yes. And I think a lot of NFL analysts on TV are not too high on that organization right now.
Wow.
Look, when you look at their schedule and you say, okay, where are our bright spots, right? Where are areas where... We can have wins, you know, like we're trying to build this thing. And that was definitely one of them. We both thought so. That was a...
Yeah, we picked them.
You thought Jacksonville would win because Houston is, well, they got a whole lot of stuff going on, but you wouldn't know it.
Fox's Big Noon Saturday game between Ohio State and Oregon was the top-rated event of the day. Thing or not a thing?
Duh.
Well, it's a little... valedictorian to summer school. There weren't a ton of great games yesterday, but also to Threes's point, duh. Look, I don't love Big Noon for the standpoint of, again, empty seats. You saw it in the wide shots, especially in the student section. You saw the empty seats.
Yeah,
I prefer games like this to be played at our place at 3:30 or 8 o'clock. To me, the big non-conference game, second week of the season, that's a night game at Ohio Stadium, right? That you want that atmosphere, you want the electricity. That's what it is. Fox writes the checks, and they keep delivering ratings like this. They're not changing. So we better all get used to it.
No. The way Fox sees it is they want their noon kickoff numbers to go up against ABC's primetime. They see those as apples to apples. They say our biggest, most investment is at noon. Theirs is at primetime. Yep. If our noon game numbers match primetime, then we're doing the right thing by going at noon and not trying to challenge those primetime people.
The Cardinals' Chandler Jones tied their franchise record with 5 sacks in their win over Tennessee. He also forced 2 fumbles. Thing or not a thing?
Well, it's as good a defensive performance as you'll ever see. This was against Taylor Lewan, who actually went on social and apologized for his play.
Good for
him. And thanked Chandler Jones for making him a better pro.
Yeah.
He got whipped.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you can do that to a dude, I mean, Chris Long for the longest time, has said that Chandler Jones is the best pass rusher in football.
Yeah.
And people have forgotten about him out in the desert. I don't think people forget anymore.
By the way, feeling pretty good about that NFC West, all 4 making the playoffs.
Pretty sure they had a good weekend. Cooking. I want to apologize to the listeners. Turns out like the Seahawks are like 11-1 on trips east lately at noon. So they're not the same old Seahawks.
No.
Russ can still cook it, man. My goodness.
Yeah, that was a weekend.
Bo, you mentioned this one briefly, but also from Schefter yesterday. Saints cornerback Marshawn Lattimore has agreed to a 5-year, $97.6 million contract extension that could be worth up to $100 million with $68.3 million guaranteed per sources. It also includes the largest full guarantee at signing for any quarterback in NFL history. Thing or not a thing?
Good for him. Good for him. Generational money. Generational money for Marshawn Lattimore. That'll last his kids. That's generational wealth, and that's awesome. But is he like Ramsey? Because I haven't seen that the last couple of years.
All that matters is he is to the Saints.
But I'm thrilled for him.
I know.
He is to them, I guess.
And wasn't he?
I'm thrilled for him.
Going through like suspended, not suspended question marks? I thought that there was some stuff about that down there. But good for him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good for him.
Good for him. That's incredible, yeah. Man. $70 million. Beautiful. Beautiful job.
Yeah, look, they played,
coming up at the top of the hour.
They bullied the, talk about bullying teams. They bullied the Packers.
Yeah. No, obviously did not have that. Did not have that. We'll do the full table of NFL reaction tomorrow on the program. Coming up next, we get back into the Buckeyes. We blitz it, go around the weekend in the Big Ten. Dennis Dodd at the bottom of the hour. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
We like football. And if you like football, we highly encourage you to listen to Morning Juice. It's great.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. Meet or on the rocks. Just act accordingly.
Starts with a glass of bourbon, then goes to, oh, First Blood's on. I think I'll watch this again.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Final hour on a Reaction Monday edition of the program. Our chance to react, and it's brought to you, of course, every Monday by our friends at Taco Bell on Ohio Sports Leader 97.1 The Fan. Let me ask you this before we blitz, because tomorrow will be heavy Browns Bengals in terms of how we handle tomorrow's program. But this is, you know, when you lose at home to Oregon the way that you did, then the majority of the show is going to be spent on that. And today was real quick, couple of minutes on each. Let's do the Browns first in Kansas City. Probably the best half of football Cleveland Browns football team has played since, I don't know, 87. I mean, yeah. It's about as you're up 22-10. What more do you want? Yeah. And you just see, for me, you just see the margin for error against that team doesn't exist.
Yep. Yep, it doesn't. I mean, how many teams have said before that they've had a lead against the Chiefs? And you were, I mean, you were playing as good as you can do it. There was... like the game plan, the execution was there, and it just, when you're playing a championship caliber team, a team that clearly knows how to win, believes that they are never out of any football game with Pat Mahomes, and they are, they're never out of a game.
Nope.
You just see those kind of results, and you have to play clean, perfect. You can't have a drop snap on a punt. You can't give them opportunities like that. I mean, everything was perfect until, like, the explosive play, the explosive throw to Tyreek, which, again, is just that's Tyreek adjusting to the ball. I mean, he played so well, and yet they're still so hard to beat. There's a lot of positives coming out of this.
Yeah.
What you don't like is you felt like you collapsed a little bit in the fourth. You don't like Baker making that throw. I disagree with Tony Romo. I don't think he was trying to throw it away. I think he forced it. But anyway.
I think he was trying to throw it high to where either Harrison Bryant would catch it or nobody would.
Yes.
And
yes.
He got drugged down.
Yes.
And that took the velocity off the ball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I agree. But absolutely. I don't think he was straight throwing it away. I think he was throwing it to Harrison Bryant high, because Harrison's a big dude, high, so only he could get it, and then he was drugged down, and he ended up throwing it right to the defensive back. You can't have three turnovers, though, against that team. Can't.
Yep.
Can't.
I know.
You got no chance. I'd be interested to see how they respond at home against Houston. I think Cleveland's got culture, but it'll be tested a little bit. And it was an opportunity missed, you know, for Baker. And he was great. It was just, you have the ball in your hand. And Stefanski, too. You have the ball in your hand.
Yep.
You have that talent. And you go three and out, and then you have the pick. You had two opportunities. The defense got you the ball.
Yep.
Go get some first downs. Go score. Conversely, I think what happened in Cincinnati, I picked them to beat Minnesota. I thought they would. That's a lot of momentum can come out of that, buddy.
I was shocked. I was shocked when they the way the overtime went. I thought, honestly, and this could be just wrong of me. Like, and I think, you know, I don't think I'm alone on this. I think the Bengals fans, when they got to overtime and you don't have success on the first drive, I think you're probably thinking what I'm thinking is same old Bengals. They can't find a way to win this game. Blah, blah, blah. And when I saw that they kept fighting, there was multiple times. Every time Minnesota got the ball, I'm like, well, here it is. You know, they're going to lose a close one, a heartbreaker. That stinks. This team's got to learn how to win. You know, boom. Nope. They did it. They did it. And Ja'Marr Chase caught a ball. I mean, you just can't throw them screens, bro. You got to go deep.
Go deep.
You know, that ball with no stripes on it is just easier to catch when it comes from that angle over the shoulder versus right at your face. So you got to script some stuff up for him. But
Mixon's got a lot of burst again. He looked
good. Yeah, he does. Yeah. He does. It's a big win. And I think you have to build off that. It's a big win.
All right, let's blitz it. All right, pal, we do it every week. We do this well. What do we do well?
Well, our receivers get open. That's what I know. I mentioned it earlier, three wide receivers over 100 yards, the first time in Ohio State's long, amazing history, and just absolutely incredible. It's incredible. I think that's what I'm confident in. I think CJ can spin it. I think there's some things he can obviously improve upon. I think, you know, so you say, hey, I have a bad feeling in my mouth. What can I get excited about against Tulsa and Akron? Well, I think you're going to see CJ, Kyle McCord, Jack Miller, and Quinn Ewers. I think you'll see all of them. You should. If you don't, there's
an issue.
So you should see them all. And not saying that there's any controversy, but at least, you know, I know how we operate as Buckeye fans. We want to see them all.
We can throw the ball. We can move the ball. We can scheme guys open. Our receivers are elite. You got, I mean, the whatever isn't happening in the highly rated defensive guys, it is happening in the offensive room at receiver. There are so many guys they can go to. They are so talented. You feel like you, now I can't explain the bogging down the red zone. You know, I wondered what it looked like with CJ. And what it really is it's really Haskins Cardell. Because he's an unwilling runner. And that's not his fault. It's just the type of player he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do it. So we're accustomed to having those guys since, you know, through Urban and with Justin, that can erase things on fourth and so ever many and third and 12.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to do that. Yeah. So you have to adjust your mind to that. But you could scheme guys open. And you're elite. I think that's really about the only thing you can say for sure. You do well based on what we saw in this last game. Won't beat Bam if we continue to do this. That's tough. About a bunch of stuff.
A bunch of stuff. Allow 7 yards per carry defensively.
Yeah.
Explosive plays. I mean, we got to take the football away. You know, if you're going to be a team that allows yards, you have to take the ball away. That's got to be because you're being aggressive, right? Yeah. You got to get picks. You got to get strip sacks. You got to get. To be honest, that was the main difference against Minnesota. Minnesota, you're in a fight as well, and it's Zach Harrison's sack strip, touchdown defense. If you're gonna give up yards, you got to live that way, right? That's how Indiana lived all last year.
Yeah,
led the Big Ten in sacks, and you know, taking the ball away, you're well on it. So. And you got to be able to run the football at will, and I just, you know, if you're going to beat Bama, there's just, I don't even want to think about. I know it's what we're supposed to do, but I don't even want to think about Bama. Like, you know, they hold up the signs, we want Bama next. No, I don't want them yet. No way.
We can't beat Bama if we do any right now. We don't do anything well defensively, right? So we don't make, you know, quick change plays. There's no sacks. There's no interceptions. Fumbles caused. There's none of that. Yeah. You're not tough in the middle. People can run on you. They can throw on you. You're not good on third down. So there's nothing to hang your hat on defensively.
Yeah.
So I'm with you. You want no part of Bama right now. I'd like to see more of this.
I want to see more Trevion Henderson.
Yeah.
I want to see just more, like, I'll put this. I want to see less.
Dude, yes!
Rotating of players.
I'd like to see more of less humans.
Yeah.
I don't want to see so many guys.
Yes.
Let's figure out who the 11 are and go a little bit here.
Yep.
Let's play the 11. I mean, the kid who they changed on Friday afternoon, the USC kid, he was playing on one of those touchdown runs. He was in the game.
I know.
He was one of the guys who got sealed.
I believe we had that, by the way.
Of course we had that.
I hope Ohio State's letter comes out. Actually, no, we're not going to listen. Okay, he's eligible.
Right. Yeah. But like, I was thinking to myself, like, is he ready to be playing in this game right now? That was crazy.
Yeah.
Offensive player that wowed.
Jackson Smith and Jigba.
Yeah.
Just impressed me, man. Like, we know about Olave's smoothness. Gus Johnson won't let you forget it. I mean, so smooth. So is Garrett, obviously. But because of those two, you're kind of like, oh, I forgot how silky Jackson Smith and Jigba is as well.
He's good. He's really good. Yeah. Offensively, beyond that, it was kind of what you expected. But the three receivers are obviously very special. I like what you did there. Defensive player who wowed. I don't know that I'm interested in that because there wasn't.
I'm not going to change it as wowed. I'll put it this, though. There's a flash. There's a flash of JTT there.
Yeah.
There's a couple plays in there where you're like, yeah, he belongs. Like, I was wondering with him coming in later, to be honest, I thought we'd see more Jack Sawyer at this point than JTT. Turns out that hasn't been the case. So JTT, I think there's certain plays in there where you go, all right, I can see why he went from the third best defensive lineman to the first best to the second best to the first best within a recruiting cycle. Yeah,
right. Yeah, you mentioned the play that you saw in film, just batting the ball down, good presence. He's the only one you can do there. Coach, you earned the courtesy car. This is a tough one, too.
I'll call Heartline. You got three dudes producing like that, you know. I mean, no one wakes up the next morning and goes, oh, my room's good. You know, like, that's just not part of it. And if you do, you have a losing culture after a loss like this. But, I mean, there's got to be a sense of contentment of, my guy showed up. They made plays when asked to. So, I'll go B-Heart.
Folks, if these are all being similar, it's because there's not a lot to choose from.
Yep.
There aren't that many bright spots, right? So, I think you have that right. It's probably, as B-Hart's probably the one that has to be. Your game ball on offense.
Don't get a game ball when you lose.
Well said, sir.
Don't
even
get it.
Exacerbated.
Even when you play well, they hang out. You don't get Buckeye leaves when you lose. Not as a team. You know, we did it back in our day. When you lose, you get a Buckeye leaf for a win. You get another Buckeye leaf. It's a Big Ten win. You know, you start stacking them up. Player of the game, you reach some goals here and there.
Yeah.
No, not when you lose. That thing stays nice and silver and shiny. Doesn't get covered up with anything when you lose.
And obviously the same would hold true defensively.
Yep.
Can this team win at all grade?
I have them at a C. C to C minus. You're not going to win it all with your defense playing that way. And it's been 2 weeks in a row. Really, if you want to go back to a year ago, we know what Alabama looked like against us. I mean, as where we sit right now, there's nothing to really, you know, you're not waiting for some big dude to come off of injured reserve. You're not waiting for, you know, there's nothing changing. It's just going to have to be better communication, better execution, and, hopefully, I guess the only saving grace is hopefully through Tulsa and Akron, guys make some great plays because of the talent gap, and that leads to more confidence to make those same plays as you head into the conference play.
I'm going to go C-plus here, just in large part because I think this is going to be a wide-open season in college football.
Same.
I think you could see two lost teams playing for the national title. I just think it's wide open. It's absolutely wide open. You're still in it. Of course you're still in it.
Which I do enjoy it being this way again.
It's awesome.
I do enjoy it being this way.
Yes, it's great. It's absolutely great. There are going
to
be teams.
Like, I don't want it to happen to us.
No, but no, I think your point is well made. Look, it's wide open. So, yeah, of course, you still have a ton of talent. You feel like you can move the ball on anybody, score on anybody. You have finite questions that need to be answered directly. And I think a lot of it comes down to identity. I don't know what we're trying to do defensively. I don't. I don't understand it. I don't know. Are we bend but don't break? We're not very aggressive. We're not physical. So I'm not sure what we're trying to do. And I think, in a way, to a far lesser extent, and don't take this out of context, to a far lesser extent, I'm not sure what we want to be offensively, especially on money downs, on the third and fourth downs. I don't know what our go-to is right now, and I don't know that we do.
Yeah.
For the longest time, it was get a quarterback on the edge and run pass option. That's not what we are now.
Right.
So what are we on third down, fourth down? What do you go to? What do you rely on? Right?
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. I don't know what the answer to that is right now for us. Because honestly, like us giving up 35 is not shocking. I thought we'd score 48, especially without Thibodeau and Flo.
Yes.
I thought we'd be in the 50s.
I thought fourth and one, we could pick up a yard putting anybody at tailback with our offensive line.
That's what I mean, that identity.
Yeah.
I just don't see it the way that... So, but look, young team.
Yep.
Wide open college football.
Yep.
There's no juggernaut. Bama looks like a juggernaut, but that could be a product of who they played. They get Florida this week.
Yep.
Right? But nobody else has been... No one else has lit it up.
No.
And dominated. So I think you're in for a wide open season in college football, and Ohio State can benefit from that. Long season, get right the next couple of weeks, start to build some momentum. All is not lost. We will go around the Big Ten coming up next. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
If it's Buckeye football you crave, you've come to the right place. And if it's day drinking you crave, you've also come to the right place. The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Their favorite sport is berating their producer.
You just sat there for 10 minutes.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bishop Laurinaitis right here on The Fan. And you know about the amazing deals right now if you're in the market for a new car over at Germain Toyota, Highlanders, Tacomas, Candries, all their models, really. But do yourself a favor. If you've thought about maybe this is a good time to sell our car, I think you should. Because their buy center right now at Germain Toyota will pay top dollar right now to get your vehicle onto their lot. So stop by and see my friends Buddy and DeLacy over there east of downtown at 5711 Scarborough Boulevard or online at germaintoyota.net.
Did you... we need new turf, right? At the stadium?
I guess so.
I mean,
if they do need new turf, I think it'd be phenomenal if you went back to the gray Ohio State font,
right?
You know that we had back in the old days.
I would think. I know that there was a. It just seemed like there was a lot of slipping on it. A lot of slipping from our guys. It seems like the O is faded, and I don't know if it was just maybe. It seemed like the O is faded to kind of almost a pinkish hue.
The sun will do that, you know. Maybe
yeah,
we've seen over. The sun
it's
more,
been a long time.
Thought here in Columbus, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I'd like to find a way to do grass. I think that would be a pretty sweet thing because I think you're right. You talk about the Okuda injury. I think some of it's overtraining tendons, and some of it is a lot of bad turf around pro and college football. There's a lot of bad turf. We saw that
there
what
is.
Happened in New York. Remember last year, New York,
watching
all the
Seattle
Achilles.
Indy game, even though is like just even watching it just looks rough. Sometimes the way they rake it and all that and the light and just... Ugh.
Yeah, yeah. Look, if you go around the Big Ten and you say to yourself, you know, how was the weekend? The weekend is never good when your bell cow loses. So even though there were some big moments like Iowa beating Iowa State and really handling Iowa State, they handled them. By the way, if you're Iowa State and you're playing the biggest game on your campus, maybe ever, how about maybe looking like Iowa State?
That'd be good.
Maybe have a little red and yellow in the color scheme.
Oh, is that their colors? Is that their black and white?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
What are you doing? I was good. They're really well coached. They're good. They're defensively very, very good. You've had them, and you told us how good they were.
I still would pick us to win 9 times out of 10.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm rooting for them to go
now,
the whole way.
That used to be 10 out of 10. It was actually 10 out of 10 when I texted Joshua Perry this morning. It's dropped to 9 out of 10
because
I get concerned with us getting undisciplined when it comes to fitting that run game.
Yeah,
and that run game is all about the way you stop that run game is team defense, and trusting that you're going to be in your gap, the guy next to you is going to be in your gap, you're all going to execute, not trying to do too much, not trying to cover up for anybody else, all that stuff. But
if you didn't watch, so Nebraska wins. They handle Buffalo.
They did.
Oklahoma coming. But
they did.
They handle Buffalo. Chops at Rutgers.
Yep.
Good job out of them.
Yep.
Iowa, obviously, headline. If you didn't watch Michigan, would you be aware of how they did it?
No, because, well, I'd have a sense of how they did it. I mean, their formula right now seems to be obvious. You have to wonder.
Well, it's not great for us.
It's not, I mean, no, because they're running the football 300 yards a pop every game.
56 carries.
Yep.
343 yards.
I think
against
Jim
Washington
is going Corum? Back to Stanford.
I think he is too. That's what I thought he would do when he got there.
Yes.
Corum had 21 carries, 171. Haskins was 27 for 155 and a 31-10 win over Washington.
Yeah, I dive into Wallwatch Northern Illinois today. I've read a lot of stuff on Michigan today. Already. Just
now, Washington lost to Montana last week, so
They did. They're not good. No, they're not good, especially offensively. They're supposed to have a solid defense, but Aiden Hutchinson for them had a good day. 2.5 sacks for the Wolverines, working against an all-pro. If you look at mock drafts, you'll see the kid from Washington, tackle. He's in a lot of first-round mock drafts, and Aiden Hutchinson had, I think, a sack and a half on him. So I haven't watched their defense close enough to really get a feel. And again, they've played, really two teams that they are better than, clearly, in Western Michigan and Washington. So I don't know, but I'm interested to see what the new defense just schematically looks like.
Cade McNamara completed 7 of 15 for 44.
Yeah, that's not great.
And they won 31-10 at home over Washington. So, if you think about the Michigan win, the Iowa win, those are big wins. You think about Nebraska, kind of handling business against Buffalo, who we thought would be a little game. Rutgers continues to win. All of that's good. Illinois getting drilled by Virginia, not good, obviously. But you're not going to your bread is not buttered on Illinois results. Your bread's buttered on Ohio State beating Oregon.
Right.
So when that happens, it puts a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
So Iowa did its part. Michigan did its part. This week, Penn State needs to do its part.
Yeah.
But we got to do our part.
Yeah.
And we didn't this week.
So when you do that game, where you're like so and so, like you're trying to figure out how really good are these teams? Minnesota struggled with Miami, Ohio.
Sure.
But I think Miami, Ohio can win the MAC. And
right.
So you see 31-26, but then it makes you say, well, you know what? Maybe Luke really has a team, because that's a rival, Miami, Ohio, Cincinnati, and they were up 35-0 at halftime on Miami, Ohio.
I think Luke does have a team.
So I'm just saying, like, when you connect the dots and you're saying, well, Cincinnati's ranked ahead of us, how are they? No, I mean, by that logic, Cincinnati would be favored significantly against Minnesota. And so then you start saying, that's just, as you keep in mind how these teams play, it's interesting to see kind of how that all works. And it's not always apples to apples, but you can get a pretty good idea on how teams look and fare and all that stuff. That's why this week, monster game with Cincinnati going to Indiana.
Yeah. I mean, you're going to get a good look at a T-bone this weekend.
But it's got to be your bowl.
Dennis Dodd up next with some national perspective on the week that was in college football. Bishop and Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
1, 2, 3. The Daily Coach Ryan Day Show is brought to you locally by Credit Union of Ohio and by Hyde Park Prime Steakhouse on The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
This is the Ryan Day Show, brought to you by Safelite Auto Glass. Coach, we're just in the aftermath. You'll look at the tape, I know, but just your initial thoughts on a tough day here.
Yeah, very, very disappointing. First off, anytime you lose, it's hard to take. But this one didn't obviously sit very well. I thought, we didn't do a very good job running the football, and we didn't do a very good job against the run. And because of that, we never really were in control of the game. I never felt that way. I thought we made some plays, but we got to learn to stop the run, and we got to do a better job of running the football.
Did you feel like the lines of scrimmage, at least initially, and then as the game went, you didn't have the advantage there?
I don't know. I mean, I'll have to look at the film and see. But, we were kind of driving the ball, and then we get to those fourth downs and didn't convert. And then the defense did a good job of getting a couple stops, and we couldn't get going. So, at the end of the day, what everyone has to realize is it's hard to win, and it doesn't just happen. You have to be a competitive excellence, and you have to execute, and that didn't happen today.
Another comment in just a moment.
First Fridays are a thing. Drinking bad bourbon is not a thing. This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Bo Bishop, James Laurinaitis with you here on a Reaction Monday edition of the program. Let's head on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline for a visit with our old buddy Dennis Dodd, national college football writer for CBS. Dennis, thanks for taking the time. and we started the show with this. Give full credit to Oregon. Mario Cristobal's got a program there. Toughness, physicality. That was surprising to us at home to see Ohio State bullied, 7 yards a rush, those type of things. What did you make of what you saw here Saturday?
Yeah, after Oregon winning, I think that was the takeaway. It's like, wow, this defense has you know, a ways to go now, because it's a thing now, guys. It, you know, in 2019, Jeff Hapley's defense led the country in yards per play, 4.19. So far this year, I looked it up yesterday, 2 yards more per play so far this season, 6.19. I think in 19, they led the country in that category. In 20, they dropped to 59th, and then yesterday they were 112th. Or this week, they're 112th. They're second worst in the state of Ohio in that category. Only Akron's worse, so it needs some work.
Dennis, as you look around the rest of the country, just what are general observations? What's weird is that Bo and I said, you know, after week one, you didn't feel great about our defense. You know, there were some things to correct, but you kind of felt, you know, after watching Clemson, Georgia, after watching, obviously, Alabama is so impressive, you felt, well, we feel comfortable with being one of those four. Now, obviously, we're not very confident. But just overall, the national landscape outside of Alabama, how do you feel so far through I guess it'd be 3 weeks or 2 weeks, week zero? I get confused.
On Ohio State or just everything?
No, just nationally, the national landscape, just in general. Just do you have a good sense through 2 weeks on, you know what? These teams are going to be there at the end of the day, or do you get a sense that it's more wide open maybe than we initially thought?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think Alabama and Georgia may have spots locked up. It may come to a case where Georgia can afford to lose that game in the SEC championship game. And I have to tell you, Texas A&M may look pretty good with one loss on its schedule to Alabama, finishing second in the SEC West. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying it looks like the usual suspects. Now, that would suggest, all that being said, that would suggest there's one or two spots available, because Clemson, you know, had that bad game against Georgia, and who do they beat? You know, they can run the table. They're not terrible. They have issues running the ball. But who are they going to beat of consequence in the ACC to help their schedule strength if it comes down to that, if it comes down to a 12-1 decision? Because they don't play North Carolina, which right now is the highest ranked other team in that division. You know, so who do we have? We have Oklahoma, you know, one of those slots. Who's the new team? Is it Iowa? I don't know. You know, if they have the goods to deliver, I think they can win, and God hand them the Big Ten West, but can they win, you know, win the conference? If they do, does that get them in?
I think it would. I think it would if they could pull that off. The thing that's tricky for us around here is, and, you know, we got Tulsa and Akron the next couple of weeks, and Rutgers and Maryland after that. So Ohio State cannot be whole and can still win the rest of its games. It's similar to what you've said with Clemson. Iowa has looked great early, but that's the thing that's hard to break through. And Dennis, when we went to this playoff, you know, the notion was that more teams would get at bats. So far, that hasn't happened. It looks like if it's possible that maybe this year, early on, maybe you could have a situation where there are a couple of teams with a couple of losses in this thing. Could you foresee that happening? Is this the year where you do get a little bit of chaos, which is something you hoped you'd get when you went to four teams to begin with?
I don't, because it's only happened twice in history. I think Minnesota in 1960 and then LSU in 2007. Now, those were smaller sample sizes. Minnesota, that was a wire service era. In 2007 was two teams in the BCS. Now you're talking about four. Well, I did a story on that, God, in the last month, I remember. There's never been a two-loss team in the playoff through 7 years, never mind about winning it. So, I think there'll be enough excellence, because you'd be talking about parity throughout the game for a two-loss team to get in, and that's been extremely rare in college football. So, no, I think you're going to see undefeated. I think you're going to see one-loss team. There's going to be a big discussion about the 3-4, as there usually is. And it'll be the usual thing in year 8 of the CFP.
Dennis, do you think this is a year, not only with their preseason ranking, but just the being 2-0, and obviously they have the next 2 weeks are going to be crucial for them, but the Cincinnati Bearcats, the fact that they're sitting right there, you already have Clemson with a loss, you have Ohio State with a loss, Do you think the Bearcats have enough? Notre Dame is looking iffy.
Yeah.
If they win, totally, you know, win out, do you think that this is a year that a Group of Five team, and I know there'll be a future Power Five team, but a Group of Five team gets the nod?
Yeah, this before the season, all I said was this is the best chance a Group of Five has had, you know, to crack the code. Obviously, the selection committee hasn't been charitable, I guess, to those schools, they would think. Cincinnati and UCF have the highest ranking ever of a Group of Five, and they were number eight. Obviously, Cincinnati was number eight last year. So what would it take? Well, that you have to play the teams. I go back to when Colorado got good in the 90s. Bill McCartney started loading up with non-conference games. The downside is you lose, you're out. But if you win, you got a chance. And that's how Colorado got into the upper echelon of college football back then, although I guess albeit briefly. Cincinnati's got the, you know, they've got the schedule these next 2 games, not 2 weeks. They have a bye in there.
That's right.
Got to hope that Indiana gets better, plays well after they beat them, you know, if they beat them, after they beat them. Notre Dame looks a little sketchy against Toledo. They have to hope that Notre Dame wins out because it gets really dry after that. But that's the best chance. And I will say this, with the selection committee, they're now a known commodity within that room. And again, there would have to be some help where I think, again, you'd be deciding between an unbeaten Cincinnati and maybe even a 2-loss team from a power conference, because that's kind of how it came down last year in November when we were talking about this. But yeah, they've got the chance. You don't have a chance to start playing the teams. They're playing the teams.
Yeah, they are. Dennis, speaking of Cincinnati, they're a Big 12 school now. What do you make of what the Big 12 did to rebound after losing? I mean, there's only so much you can do when you lose your 2 meal tickets. They did. This is how they rebounded. What do you make of the rebound?
Yeah, I mean, they acted quickly. I thought they did the prudent and right thing. You know, these were the best names left on the board. You know, BYU has some national cachet. Their fan following is great wherever they play. You know, these were the four that were considered in 2016, if you remember, by the Big 12, and that David Boren Folley, the Oklahoma president, wanted to go through it. Well, there was no way it was going to happen, even though the Big 12 had a clause in its contract that it could exercise. They would get $1 billion more in revenue if they admitted any four teams. So they could have really stuck it to ESPN. They chose not to back then, out of good faith. What did that get them? That's another story. But, you know, it was kind of going to be these four. And, you know, it's pretty good. You know, the only question then becomes, is it a Power Five? And most of the stakeholders I talk to think they deserve to be a Power Five. And the conference is looking, not decided yet, but is looking at going to 16, as I reported Friday. Memphis and Boise have been discussed, not formally considered, but discussed. And you can see what's happening if they do that. Then you've basically, you know, dared the commissioners to draw a line above the Big 12 and say, you're not Power Five. Because at that point, they would have cornered the market on the best available brands that are left. At that point, the only schools left in the Group of Five that have gone to a New Year's Six Bowl are the Northern Illinois, Hawaii, and Western Michigan. The Big 12 would have everybody else. So that might be good. It might do that. But I think where they are now is good. You know, it's strength in numbers, at least, with 14.
Yeah, wow. Certainly so. Yeah. Real quick, Dennis, why no SMU? Why is everybody allergic to SMU? It feels like they would have a little more cachet, and they never get mentioned in these conversations. Just ill will from the 80s still?
No, it's not that. Small school. You're already in Texas.
Yeah.
They're following, I guess, isn't as big as some of these other Texas schools. And I think there's still that thought in the back of people's minds that, boy, how many years was it? 87 was the death penalty.
Yeah.
You know, they only recently got a little bit statistic. They were wandering in the desert for years. And if you don't have the right coach there, it still takes somebody unique like a Sonny Dykes to keep that thing afloat. So I think there's some worry about that. I just don't think they need another presence in Texas.
Yeah, makes sense. Appreciate your time and your perspective, Dennis. Thanks for giving us a little bit of it today.
All right, enjoyed listening to you guys over the weekend. Thanks.
All right, the great Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports. covering us and joining us on the Bryan Heating Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. We hit three things on a Reaction Monday. Up next, Bishman Laurinaitis right here on the Fan.
An ex-jock and a very puffy, smooth-faced man. These are the first voices you should hear. Morning Juice.
Your wake-up service.
Weekday mornings from 6 to 9.
The Fan. If you say something with confidence, then you can't be wrong.
I don't even know.
This is Bishop and Laurinaitis.
All right, time for three things on a Reaction Monday. Hit it, Chopper.
One, two.
Three things with Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Sponsored by Custom Air. Custom Air. Custom Solutions. Custom Comfort.
All right, number one for me. Tough lessons for the boys this weekend. Really chesty Fridays at school in their Browns and Buckeyes gear. Real chesty Saturday morning. In their Buckeye gear. Browns, less chesty about Browns, right? A little less chesty. Tears across the board.
Yep.
And then the lesson of, you learn from this. You grow from this. Adversity makes you stronger. Wind out of the sails a little bit, though. I won't lie to you, pal. Wind a little, especially Saturday. Wind out of the sails, coach.
Yeah, I hear you. I've been there. I remember tears as a child watching the Vikings lose in 98. We went 15-0, and I still cried against when they lost to Tampa Bay and then again to the Falcons. Yeah, still hurts. Still hurts if I let it sink in for a while. My first thing yesterday would have been my dad's 61st birthday. And his first birthday without him. And I just wanted to say happy birthday to Pops. And it was a tough one. You know, I try not to think about it much, but it's impossible, man. And just a tough day yesterday at times.
Sorry, pal.
My first thing, watched the game on Saturday in the campus area. It was a fun time to be back out. Tough outcome, obviously. I thought the Oregon fans were really nice. They seemed like a good group of people out there. Definitely no talking, you know, too obnoxious from them from the first game or from before the game. But after the game, they were still nice, and I was trying to have some fun with them. I was going around, and anytime I saw a group of Oregon people after the game, I was like, well, beat us twice. Beat us twice, then.
Chesty chops running around saying beat us twice.
But you can't beat us on a neutral site.
number two for me, watching a full slate of college games Saturday into a relatively large slate of pro games on Sunday. And when you watch it both very carefully, it is amazing how much more complex the NFL game is. It's something that you don't think a lot of in, or I haven't at least, you know, in all my years watching the sport. You know, I didn't really watch it as closely. But when you actually watch it closely and you chart both and you pay attention to what's being done and what's being asked of players, it is apples and avocados, man. The difference.
Yep.
It's a stunning difference, what's required.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. My second thing, man, the 9/11 coverage over the weekend. That stuff still gets me. You get one of those shows, documentaries on, and from any angle, right? I mean, whether it's the first responders, the crazy amount of heroics shown that day, whether it's the calls on the airlines. But I remember a feature coming on, and you know, London was watching TV with me, and you start to say, you know what, she's not going to comprehend this yet, but I did let her watch it, and just the amount of questions pouring out of her sweet, innocent mind. But it just dawned on me, man, like what a responsibility we have as parents to continue to never forget that day with our children that are obviously weren't around.
Yeah, all that coverage, it still gets you. I jokingly said to Jen when we were headed to campus, I was like, I hope nobody recognizes me. You know, we're going right in. And one person did. One person came up to me. Hey, are you Chops? And I go, as a matter of fact, I am.
Yes.
And then he goes, is this J-Lo? And we go, yep. And she just rolls her eyes the entire time. But great to meet the fans. Always don't feel bad if you want to come up to me. I'm always happy to throw out an I'm Chops.
Be more obnoxious in front of J-Lo. It's great.
Oh,
let's do it.
All I want you to do, Chops, the line I want to give you, when that happens the next time and she rolls her eyes, just say, I am who you married.
There you have it.
You married fame, sweetheart. This is what you get. Every That's once right. in a while, you're going to get a little recognized.
You knew I was going places, honey.
This is what you signed up for. It was in the brochure. Finally, for me, piggybacking on the 9/11, the entire Army football team running out with flags. Yeah. Yeah. I'll sign up for that. That we did a great job here. There was a lot of great jobs around the country. Let's not just make it about that instant. Let's remember how we all came together after 9/11 and what it was like. We're capable of that, man. I mean, yeah. I started rewatching Band of Brothers. Just Americans coming together and kind of inspired by all this. Americans coming together for a greater good. We're capable of that.
We are.
Like, don't devolve back into the hopelessness. Like, we can all come together. We are one United States of America, after all.
Yes, we are. And that goes to my third thing. Somehow, in the span of a year, we have turned a portion of our nurses from heroes into enemies over a jab. Let's not forget those who are choosing not to get vaccinated that are losing their jobs. We're fighting without a vaccine to help save lives a year ago at this time. And somehow, they are just not remembered the same right now.
My last one. You guys sort of hit this in higher or lower, but I also want to say it because the preseason poll, it's just so crazy how much it influences things. And then when they rank it, and I know it's all done by individual voters, so if you look at people's ballots, you can come out of the way like, oh, this guy gets it. But there's also those people who don't get it. And the one thing I don't get about the rankings is because they're your rankings. They start out as your rankings, AP, and they belong to all the voters. But Ohio State loses to Oregon, and now Oregon's number 4. So did Ohio State lose to number 12, or did they lose to number 4? Did Oregon beat number 3, or did they beat number 9? And that's always been the hardest part to, like, connect with the rankings. But the one thing you have to get, and sometimes people fail this, is you have to put the team that won, if they're similar records, you have to put the team that won ahead of the other one.
Yeah, I would say that you can't have USC having more votes than Kansas State after losing to Stanford and Kansas State beat Stanford. That doesn't add up.
That's right.
That does not add up. Tomorrow, lots of NFL chatter. A crazy week one in the NFL. We'll try to put it into perspective. Rothman and Ice up next. Bishman Laurinaitis right here on The Fan.
I trust Atlas Butler because they've been a local company for over 100 years. Not that you should trust everyone just because they're local. Atlas Butler, yes. Guy who sells watches out of his car, maybe not.
Call 1-800-FIRST.